Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight's scripture reading is from John 13, verses 1 through 7 and 31 through 35. Hear the word of God. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. Oh God, we gather at your table and before your word to find our life again in Christ. May he be present as the word is preached and as the table is shared, that our lives might be made new again in him. For we pray in his name. Amen. Tonight is a special night for the church around the world. It's a time when we gather more than just a pause. It's a full stop. We stop. We stop our lives here. Not so that we can hurry back and, you know, get involved again and all that stuff that means our life. Our lives are so complicated and they're so busy. They're, you know, a fence to paint and something to get repaired and a doctor's visits and a birthday party to plan and grandma to remember at her birth. All this stuff, we're just so busy. And tonight we come to the table on this special night. We stop our lives for a moment. And at this table, on this night, we ask ourselves, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Why is it that God has given me breath and life for this moment and time? And what am I supposed to do with this treasure, this life that God has given me to live for this season and time? We gather and we stop and we gather around a special word, a special scripture. It's that scripture that comes to us in John's Gospel when Jesus gathers his friends and he says to them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Now, it's not new in the sense that we're supposed to love. That's old, isn't it? Go back to the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament. Go back to Moses. That's a long time before this night. And we find there that Moses in Leviticus says to the people, this rabble, you know, that these slaves that have come out of Egypt, that this rabble that God is going to now take and make a mighty nation, how's God going to do that? How's God going to make these people special? How is God going to take this group of people, this rabble, and form them into a nation that's going to bless the world? How's God going to do that? And so Moses says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's how we're going to do that. And so the commandment to love our neighbor as ourselves, that's old. But the scripture says that Jesus on this night gives a new commandment. It's because it's from Jesus, because it's so rich and so powerful. It's new. Love one another as I have loved you. That much? Oh, really now? We are going to love one another that much? How's it even possible? How is it even conceivable that in our narcissism and in our selfishness and all of our problems and our struggles, how's it even possible that we could love that much one another? Well, there's this thing called the harmony of goodness. I like that term. It's kind of a new term that I discovered this week. I like it. It's got a great sound to it. Harmony of goodness. And the harmony of goodness works this way. That before we are called to love, before the mandate, commandment, you get the connection there? Commandment. It's that connection. Before we are called to love like that, we first are loved. And so Jesus says, or it says of Jesus, John says, that Jesus, having loved his own, his disciples, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The harmony of goodness strikes its first note with this love song, the note of this love song that God has for us and has for the world. Jesus loved them to the end. God has already surrendered to us in love. God has already done that. So Jesus loved them to the end. To the end. Even when that day when they wanted to bring down fire from heaven and destroy the Samaritan village because it was lacking in hospitality and wouldn't welcome them and Jesus, shall we call fire from heaven? Shall we destroy them? Every man and woman, every boy and girl, every baby, should we just drop an atomic bomb on them? Jesus loved them even then. Even when the disciples we're arguing which one of us is going to be the greatest. Imagine the ego, the narcissism, the selfishness. Which one of us is going to be the greatest in the kingdom, Jesus? He loved them even then. And then on that day, that Friday, when a cross was lifted up over Golgotha, and at noon, the sky turned completely dark from noon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they had fled, they were gone. Even then, he loved them to the end. All of which signals that truth, that wonderful truth, that in our weakness, in our meanness, in our eagerness to get out of the way and walk on the other side on the Jericho Road, when human need is right in front of us, our willingness and eagerness to get away from that, our lukewarm devotion, our insistence that it's okay to revenge ourselves. If somebody has done something to us, we're going to get them back. We're going to make them hurt. Jesus loves us even then. In this and in every place like it, we are loved to the end. God loves us with a love that won't give up. And divine love rushes over us and through us and within us and beneath us. A flood, a torrent of blessing. Jesus loved them, us. Jesus loved them, us. To the end. Everywhere. And at every moment. And you know, Jesus doesn't do this even on his own. Even Jesus doesn't do this on his own. If you think that you can love, that you can forgive, that you can bless on your own, then you will quickly discover that none of us can love like Jesus loves. But even Jesus doesn't do this on his own, you see. At his baptism, we recall that moment where the heavens opened up and the Spirit came like a dove, and there was this voice that says, "My beloved." And Jesus heard that voice, and for the rest of his life, he lives out of that blessing. It never slips out of his hand. The hold of that blessing never lets go. And we understand that Jesus' ability to do all that he did, to forgive on the cross, to bless those who cursed him, all of what he did to change the world, he does out of this power of beloved, of having been loved. He doesn't do it on his own. Even Jesus can't do it on his own. When I was a child, I was in Sunday school every Sunday, starting with, you know, cradle roll and all that stuff. And I remember my first Sunday school class when I was about 5 years old or 6 years old. I can see the room. I see the teacher. And I remember I could read at that point. I remember reading up on the wall of the Sunday school room that word from 1 John. And it was taught to us every week. It was, you could expect to hear it, regardless of what other lesson there was. This was always a part of what we heard every Sunday. Where John, 1 John says, we love him because he first loved us. Before the commandment, before the mandate, there is this God who has already surrendered to us. There is this Christ who kneels before us, who kneels before us tonight. He has a towel and a basin and the warm water flows over our feet, our cold feet, and he washes our feet. Kneeling before us. And then there's the cross on a hill, the crucified God with outstretched arms of eternal welcome, regardless of what we have done, what we have failed to do, regardless of the depth of our darkness and our anger and our hatred and our sin and all of that stuff. We are welcomed and loved. God doesn't stop with anything at any place. And his plan to transform and renew and save our lives. And so we gather at the table. This is who we are. If you've stopped to do that tonight, this is who we are. The people whose feet have been washed by the Savior. And Maundy Thursday calls us to know that. By faith, we belong to God and to one another at this table. There's an old hymn, maybe you know it, you probably do, Rock of Ages. And then it says, cleft for me, a cleft in a rock. A cleft is an opening, it's a space. It's a space of safety and peace that the Rock of Ages has made a cleft, a space of love and welcome and belonging for me. But then it goes on to sing. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. You know, someday when I die, I expect to meet Jesus. That's where I'm headed. That's where we're headed. To meet Jesus face to face. And when that moment comes, I've got my speech ready. I've got it memorized. I know exactly what I'm going to say at that moment. And this is what it is. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. We are loved to the end. And this harmony of goodness. And because we're loved this way, because the warm water has flowed across our feet and we have felt Jesus' towel washing and wiping. Because a cross is lifted, because there's a cleft in the rock, because of all of this and much more, now we are ready Now, we are empowered to offer ourselves up to the pain and the hurt of a suffering world. Now, we are empowered to love like Jesus. We surrender to one another. We take the towel and the basin, and we get on our knees before a suffering world, and we join God, who in Christ loves this whole world, every particle and person in it. But of course, loving the whole world really comes down to loving the person right in front of us. Jesus does the saving. We're not the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus will save the world. And our task is to love the person as close as our touch. Because we are loved to the end, we take the towel. This, as we come to the table, this is who we are. Amen.